Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen? Amen. So how many of you, by a show of hands, have ever tried a diet? Oh, wow, a lot more than I thought. How did it go? Don't answer that. I think we can all agree that diets are a struggle. At least it is for me. A year or so ago, maybe it was a little more than a year ago, my awesome primary care physician, Dr. Chu, was encouraging me to avoid certain foods that were affecting my health. Sugar and carbs, he said. Mainly carbs. Sugar wasn't really a big issue for me, but carbs, oof. He said, just avoid bread, pizza, pasta, and cereal. And I interrupted and said, you've just sentenced me to a diet of starvation. Aren't those the four food groups? He didn't laugh. I went home, and for, I'd say, about 6 months, I got real serious about his directions. I think I lost around 34, 36 pounds. I was really excited. So the next time I saw him, boy, he was just doing somersaults. And then came the fall. It started with, oh, just a couple of pieces of pizza. That'll be fine, won't it? That's no big deal. How about just one scoop of ice cream, which became two, and so on? And maybe a bowl of cereal wouldn't be so bad as just something to tidy me over, as a dessert at bedtime. Well, I guess you can figure out what happened. The next time I visited Dr. Chu, I had gained 4 pounds. The visit after that, I gained another 6 pounds. And that time, he got really serious with me. I left the office like a dog with my tail between my legs. And then came the guilt. You see, because Dr. Chu is a Christian doctor. He is an awesome guy. I love him to death. And every time I would leave his office, he would leave me with some variation of the Aaronic blessing. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and so-so. Well, I'm working on it again because I don't want to disappoint him. And I really don't want to get the diseases that come with the elevated numbers that appear on my scale. I told him once, oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That only worked one time. So the problem I have, and maybe you can identify with this, is processed foods. Oh, man. It is so hard to catch all those carbs and sugar that get into processed foods. You've probably all heard the adage, when you go to the grocery store, just shop the perimeter of the store. And that means buying freshly butchered meats, fruits, and vegetables. That's it. Avoid processed foods, which only covers about 95% of the grocery store. Another problem I have is if I'm eating whole foods, it means I have to take more time to prepare. When you get tired of fixing healthy meals, that's when the easy things we love to eat appear. You know, that bag of chips and bread. Oh. Maybe you've noticed after eating that family-sized bag of chips, you're still not satisfied, which means you go back for more. Now, if you have had processed, or if you left processed foods for a while, and you go back to them, you might have noticed you get this sick feeling when you first reintroduce them into your system. But if you continue, your body sort of adapts to it, right? And once again, we're back to where we were at the beginning. Well, I see some of you salivating right now, so let me draw your attention to the gospel lesson. Even if you don't have problems with dieting, we all have a similar problem when it comes to spiritual food. As I hear the gospel lesson today, I ask myself, What drew those thousands of people to Jesus? Was it not his teachings? Jesus taught that he had come to serve and to save the lost. And one special way which he gave to us all was organic heavenly food. Food not of this world. His message had no empty fillers like so much of our processed foods. It was pure, organic, and healthy. And what's more, it was satisfying. Well, let's see what he did with that. When Jesus put his disciples on the boat to get away from the crowds followed them on foot. And those crowds grew larger and larger. And when Jesus and the disciples landed in this desolate place, those folks were there to meet him, and the crowds grew. And he began to teach them many things, it said. Flashback for a second now to John 4. You might remember that after Jesus had encountered and blessed the Samaritan woman at the well, you remember the woman who had five husbands and the one she was living with wasn't her own? Okay. After that, the disciples caught up with Jesus, and they were urging him to eat. And he said, I have food to eat that you do not know about. I want to know about that food. He went ashore, and he saw the masses. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know what that means, don't you? No shepherd, no green pastures on which to graze. No shepherd, no still waters upon which to drink. No shepherd, no one to restore the soul. No shepherd, no one to lead the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. No shepherd, no one to guide the sheep home to their final resting place. Spiritual food is so much more than the stuff we put in our stomachs. And what Jesus does next demonstrates this truth. The disciples had provisions for themselves. It wasn't much, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So when it was late, I'm sure they wanted the crowds to just leave and enjoy their meal together. But Jesus had compassion on the crowds and told the disciples, you get them something to eat. They realized that they didn't have enough for 5,000 men, much less the possible thousands more of women and children. The disciples were realists, just like we are. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? In other words, yeah, we could do that. But I'm thinking to myself, but it might take a while for them to leave that desolate place, find a town that has the bread, and who knows whether they would have enough to feed such a crowd. And that's when we see the Good Shepherd take control. Have them sit down on the grass. Echoing again Psalm 23. Jesus then does 2 things that should capture our attention. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he looks to heaven. Now, with such a massive crowd, if you couldn't hear what he was saying, he certainly was demonstrating to them that what they were about to receive was a gift from heaven. Then he broke the 5 loaves, and he cut up the 2 fish for distribution. They all had to be wondering, what in the world? But here's the point of that message. Only what Jesus blesses can satisfy. Though our eyes may see very small portions, under God's blessing it becomes a feast. What does that mean for us? Let's proceed. One day near in the future, Jesus would sit down with his disciples for another meal. We call it the Lord's Supper. And there he instituted and blessed for all time a simple meal of bread and wine. But this would be no ordinary meal. In this meal, he locates his presence. Jesus is there, as Luther says, in, with, and under those elements. This is my body, he said, taking the cup. This is my blood. In bread and wine, we partake of Christ's body and blood, not symbolically, but in a very real and spiritual way. And so powerful is this meal that St. Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians 11, saying, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." The questions that we give you to reflect upon before receiving the Lord's Supper instruct you how to eat and to drink in a worthy manner. And faith is at the very core of those questions. It's not understanding how undeserving you are, what sins you have done that might disqualify you. We are all sinners in need of God's grace. And this is the place that we receive the true body and blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of sins. And here's the take home for me. Jesus gave us this healthy meal that by his blessing, it would give us food that is organic to heaven. And this meal would have the heavenly benefits of the forgiveness of sins, first and foremost. Secondly, victory over sins and hell and strength to live the new life in him. And thirdly, as we partake of the sacrament together, we are making a solemn public confession of Christ and of our unity in the truth of the gospel. Christians who fall into a lapse by partaking of the world's sinful and unhealthful foods, like we so often do with many diets, are often struck with that sick feeling. We've all felt it before. And only God's forgiveness can heal that. The beauty of the Lord's Supper is that each time we return to the Lord's organic heavenly meal and receive the benefits of forgiveness, life, and salvation, it becomes for us medicine of the soul. As you receive the Lord's Supper this morning, taste and see that the Lord is good. Enjoy and be satisfied, for your sins are forgiven. And that's a diet that will sustain you to eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.